Hello, and welcome to the Revealing Truth Ministries Wesley Chapel Podcast. I'm Pastor Benjamin Smith, and I would like to invite you to come along with me on a journey. A journey through the Word of God where we will discover the truth that will change and enrich your life for the better. So what do you say? Will you join me on this journey? Yeah? Fantastic. Let's get started.
We just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. And we know, Father God, that this word today, Father God, is going to fall on ears, Father God, that are ready to receive. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that wherever we are right now in our walk with you, God, that we will find an opportunity to hear from you today. We thank you, Lord, that as I decrease, God, that you will increase and that you will speak through me today, God, that your people may be blessed, that your people will be able to continue to do exactly what you have called them to do in this season, exactly the way that you have called them to do it. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for giving us peace that surpasses all understanding. So even as they sit here right now, God, no one will sit here in discomfort in the name of Jesus. We just declare right now in the name of Jesus, peace. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit already being ushered in through praise and worship, God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that our minds are set on you in this moment, Father. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we put aside anything that may distract us from hearing from you today. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. And those that agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So, the message today, last Sunday, Pastor Benjamin spoke on stop stopping. If you haven't heard the message, I encourage you to go and listen to it. But today, I believe that God would like for me to share with you about just prayer and how it relates to your relationship with God. I will say that I believe that when God says stop stopping from that message last Sunday, I believe this is one of those ways that God will have us to be able to continue to keep going, and it is through prayer. One of the things that, as an intercessor, I know sometimes people may assume certain things about prayer, about what it is, about what it's not. Sometimes you may not really speak those things to people. Maybe you just think of me in your head. I want to look at a couple of things. Let's go to this first part. It just talks about what prayer is. So some people think prayer is boring. It's okay. You can say amen. I'll say amen for you. Some people think that. Some people think that prayer is hard or that it's difficult. Like, why do I want to pray? That takes so long, right? Some people think it requires me to be perfect. I can't pray. How can I come to God? I'm not right, right? These are things that people think about prayer. And if we're honest with ourselves, and the last one says asking God, that prayer is asking God to help only when I need help, right? So I am going to, as we go through this today, I just want you to reflect on your understanding of what prayer is and what you allow yourself and where you are in your relationship with God and your prayers. So as we look at, you know, what prayer is, I just want to talk about some of the things that people say it is that it's actually not. And when we say it's boring or it's hard or it's difficult, I think that comes along with maybe you've seen something where that's how prayer has been presented to you. Maybe you have been in a situation where prayer seems like it is hard or difficult. I can't do what them people do when they be standing on that stage. I don't know how to do that. So in your mind, you may think, I don't need to, or I don't know how to do that. Right? And God, our relationship with God is so connected to prayer, right? And today I just want to give you some insight on what God thinks and change the way that we think so that our relationship with God can move forward. Amen? Amen. All right. The next one, this is a really important part of everything that we're going to talk about today. Prayer is not natural. So I've heard several messages before. One message I heard years ago, Pastor T taught about prayer, And he made the statement that prayer is not natural. And if we could just stay there just for a moment, when we say something is natural, right? When a baby is born, they cry, right? That's natural. That's something that they do. They desire to eat, to, you know, drink from a bottle. That's natural, right? When certain animals are born, they literally start walking. That's natural. It just happens. Nobody has to show them. Nobody has to teach them, right? But prayer is not natural. So if it's not natural, that means you can't expect yourself to just know how to do it. Is that, amen? So those of you, you know, you may be in a place where you're like, you know what? I do want to pray more. There's a place to start. There are prayers that are already written. There are books that have prayers in them. You go to the book and you pray the prayer. You understand what I'm saying? I believe that God wants us to not be in a place where we think that prayer is something that is difficult or boring, or that it is something that I have to be perfect to do. So if it's not natural for you, you have to start somewhere, right? Where do you start? How do I get this to this place? Or if you're already praying and you already are in a place where your relationship with God, where prayer is normal, that's awesome. How do you even keep moving from that level? So I want to start off in Psalm 27. We're going to spend a little bit of time there. Psalm 27. We're going to read it from the NIV. I may read a couple different versions, but you're going to see the NIV displayed. One of the things I do want to assert is that as a believer, prayer is essential to growing in your relationship with God. It's essential. There is no way that you can move to the place that you want to move if you are not developing your relationship by prayer with God. And notice, it's your relationship of prayer with God. It's not your relationship that's connected to somebody else. It's not you praying through another person, not another person praying for you. And there's a place for all of those things, right? God says, the word says that where two or more touch and agree, there he is in the midst. You're one, and the Holy Spirit is two. Amen? You're one, and the Holy Spirit is two. So there are the two in the midst, touching and agreeing. And it's so essential that you don't discount that. And you realize that the Holy Spirit is there so that you're able to do that. So as a believer, I'm going to make this statement again. As a believer, prayer is essential to growing in your relationship with God. If you want to move from one place and you're like, Lord, I just really want to go, it's essential that we are praying. And it's not that you're praying in other people. It's not that you got to come to the altar. Right? As we talk about, when we read Psalms 27, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about what God means what I mean when I say it's essential in growing your relationship with God. So, are you ready for Psalm 27? Yes, sir. Shout out to Mr. Isaiah back there. It's my homeboy, my brother from another mother, huh? Amen. All right, Psalm 27, verse 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So there's a song that goes along with that. Some of y'all might be, you know, the tune coming in mind. That's scriptural, right? Next verse. When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Next one. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. We're going to stay there just for a moment on verse 4. Just the beginning part, the one thing I ask from the Lord. And I will say, I'll talk about me because I won't get mad at me. When I first read this scripture, I said, you know, Lord, one thing I ask from you, that ain't the one thing I'm asking, Lord. I'm not asking that. That's not my question. That's not what I desire. You know, I got some things over here that I want. So I had to come to an understanding of one thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. What does that mean, right, God? Like, what does that mean to gaze on the beauty of the Lord? How do I do that? And how do I get to a place where the one thing I ask from the Lord is to be able to do that, to be in his presence? Because what we all have desires, and the Lord says he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, right? But this scripture just really, really stood out to me when I first encountered it, because I'm like, God, how do I change that? It's gazing on the beauty of the Lord. If you can go to the question that has that on there. So if you know a little bit about me, you know that I like whales. Okay? If you don't know, now you know. So whales are amazing. If you don't know anything about whales, you should learn some stuff. One of the reasons that I love whales is because they are absolutely massive in real life. Like, it's even really difficult. Pictures don't really do them any justice. Like, people take pictures and they're nice. But unless you see it for yourself, it's very difficult to really describe their beauty, right? Go to the one that has beauty on it, the question that has beauty. So what is the beauty of the Lord, and what does it mean for my relationship with God? Two questions, both questions that I believe that you should not just write down or however you take notes, but just have an answer for you, right? What is the beauty of the Lord? For me, the beauty of the Lord is in whales. You're like, how is that? Well, I mean, there is no way that I or anybody else we know can create that, right? So it's the beauty of God that it weighs tons. It's hard for us to even imagine 70 tons. Like, that is amazing. So the other reason that I say, what is the beauty of the Lord? The beauty of the Lord is anything that you know that you have no control over. That's his beauty. That's everything we don't have any control over. I have no control. The ocean is massive. Like, just imagine. We you know, and man, God gives man wisdom, and we have technologies today that we never had before, and we can do things that we couldn't do before. But just to think, and I'm not saying you all got to love whales, even though you should, okay? Shake your head, yes. But I am saying for you, when you answer that question, what is the beauty of the Lord for you? What is that thing that you know? Man, this is God. Like, God is in this. Everything that he created, the stars, the moon, the sun, all of these, the eclipse we just had not too long ago, nobody can orchestrate that. They might have been able to tell us what time, but they couldn't do anything else. They couldn't stop it. These things are just, and that's what that verse talks about. The one thing I desire is to get your mind off of what may not be, to just, God is so amazing. God is so amazing. It don't mean that this thing is going to go away, but God is so amazing. He's so awesome. What does it mean for my relationship with God? So I went on a trip to Whale Watch. It was the year I turned 30 years old. Ooh. Was I 30 or 35? I think I was 35. I can't remember. But anyway, 35, was that from okay, amen. So I went on a whale watching trip. I went in September up to Gloucester, Massachusetts. I had never been up there ever before in my life. I'd never gone whale watching, so I take my trip, book my stuff. I get on up there. I'm there. I go by myself. It was just me and the Holy Spirit, because I'm never alone. And that's the one important thing about that relationship with God and your prayer life. You got to remember, you're never alone. When you're aggravated and you don't want to talk to people, you still are never alone. When you're aggravated and you want everybody to leave you alone, you're still never alone. The Holy Spirit is right there, and he is present. And he probably knows what's wrong with you. He probably knows what the problem is. I ain't gonna say probably. He knows what's wrong. Now, the probably is if you want to listen. When he tell you what's wrong, that's the probably. Because sometimes we do listen. And sometimes we pretend like we didn't hear the Holy Spirit say what he said, right? So that's kind of like what I did. Just I'm gonna pause that story real quick. It's kind of what I did when Pastor Benjamin sent me that text message. I was like, okay, Lord, you know I'm listening to you, Lord. Hello, you gonna tell me no? Let me type this man no back. And it didn't happen. So I was kind of like Moses. Me, Lord? You sure? You know, Lord, I'm a mess. Okay, amen. But Wales, I went up there, and I get on the boat. I'm on the thing, all of this water. Lord Jesus, nothing but water around us. So I said, Lord, night before, I'm praying. And see, this is the part where your relationship with God is so important. And what you're believing is so essential. So I get there, I pray the night before. I'm like, Lord, I'm only here to whale watch for 2 days. Lord, that's all I have. It's 2 days. I need to see a whale. Like, I want to see one. Because you can go on a whale watching trip and not see whales. Because, again, the ocean is massive. And of course, you can't be like, hey, come on. It don't work like that. They wild. They do what they want to do. Right? They out there. So I get on the boat. Sorry, I'm trying not to. Like, I know this is just a whale, but it's really not just a whale. So what I'm trying to get everybody to understand, like, it seemed like it's just a whale, but it was so much more than that. So I get there. I'm on the boat first day because I booked 2 trips. So the first trip, I get on the boat. The captain up there, everybody is there. And I say, I tell a couple people, yeah, it's my birthday. And I'm like, Lord, the night before, I need you to send me the whale. So the whale, he comes. But he doesn't just come and like, leave. That whale was next to that boat for 45 minutes. So what you don't know, because you might not have been whale watching, is that almost never happens. That is not natural. The captain of the boat came down from where he was at and he says to me, I don't usually come down from here at all, ever. And what I said to them is, you know, today my birthday, the Lord sent me a whale. He sent me, what, y'all don't, this whale was, I'm talking about, it was turning over. It went under, it came back. It did not leave the side of that boat. They actually have a word, I can't think of the word right now, but there's a word for when the whale is right next to the boat. There's an actual word for that. And he's like, well, they usually go away. Like, the whale stayed for so long, the captain was like, well, we gotta leave. Like, I'm telling y'all, like, and I remember going back to my hotel. And you know, it's just me and the Holy Spirit, so I ain't got, you know, my kids, ain't nobody with me. I'm just chilling with my, go back to the hotel, and I remember just being just in tears. Because people, you know, what is the beauty of the Lord? That's the beauty of the Lord. This wasn't, that whale could have been anywhere in that ocean. But he came, the Lord sent him there, him, her, the whale, it came, right? You think about Jonah, like, man, Jonah was in a different situation. But for me, you know, the Lord sent that. And so what does that mean for my relationship with God? It meant, it changed the way I believe. If God can send me a whale in this vast ocean on the 1 or 2 days, I live in Florida. I went all the way up here. I am a firm believer, and this is, I am always in the right place at the right time. I am always in the right place at the right time. I believe that God will have you in the right place at the right time. Back in 2013, I write a lot. I have a lot of books. I encourage you to have books. Or notebooks that you just write in. That's a huge way to help develop that relationship with God. Just write. Sometimes you need that opportunity to just write things down. And you don't necessarily got to share it with people. You know, sometimes we think we got to write stuff down and let everybody read it. It ain't for everybody to read it. It's about what is it that you and God, you and Holy Spirit got to talk about. In 2013, I wrote, literally, it's titled, What Am I Believing? You know, in 2013, I can assure you that what I was believing in 2013 is not what I'm believing in 2024. But I had to start somewhere. So I encourage you to, like I said, answer these questions as you go. You can go back to Psalm 27 to the next verse. Amen. If you are receiving from God this morning, say amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Verse 5, Psalm 27 says, For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me up upon a rock. Verse 6. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. So those verses after that make sense. Because once I realize what the beauty of the Lord is, then that worship and that praise that comes next now makes sense. Like, God, I just thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Like, that worship comes alive. Next verse. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. And this psalm goes on to, like, this psalmist is not just, well, everything is great, and God, this is wonderful. No, it's some moments in there. He's frustrated, or that the writer is angry, and you see those emotions. But all of that has to be a part of our prayer life and our relationship with God. One of the things I wrote down is that prayer is vulnerability with God. And vulnerability is hard. Vulnerability is difficult. Vulnerability is difficult with just you and the Holy Spirit. It's really difficult with other people. It's very difficult to be vulnerable. Vulnerable means I'm not going to hold anything back. Like, I'm actually going to be truthful about how I may feel. Next verse. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Things are going on. People are with me. Again, what is the beauty of the Lord for you? All of these things are happening, but what is the beauty of the Lord? The one thing that you seek. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes or false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident in this. Let me tell you something. I'm trying to be reasonable up here, okay? Some people that know me. This scripture, I remain confident that I will see. What is it that I, what does it say right there? Where at though? Right here. When I tell you this is, you got to get this. This is something that has to be in your spirit. God, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm not going to have to wait till I'm gone. In the land of the living, I'm going to experience God. I'm going to experience him in every way. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I remember being in some very, very difficult places in my life, and I didn't say it the word for word, but I'm like, I am going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to see it. I am going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you have to be steadfast and unmovable on that. As you continue to develop that relationship with God, as you continue to pray more, be with him. And let me help you out with this. Pray more. So what is it? 2 Corinthians, the one about not a religious duty. let me go there real quick, and then we'll go back to this verse. I am not, as an intercessor, right? Like, sometimes I think people think that when all the intercessors come in the room that we be like, oh, this is wonderful. We don't always come in that fashion. Because what is prayer? It's not what? Yeah, it's not natural. Some of y'all ain't, I'm going to say it again. What is prayer not? It's not natural. So we naturally are hungry in the morning. You understand what I'm saying? You don't got to do nothing about that. You just wake up and you're like, I want something to eat. You don't wake up like, I want to pray for an hour. You don't wake up like that. It's not in our nature to do it. So what do? When something is not natural, we teach ourselves. We teach ourselves. 2 Corinthians, I know it. I'm finna pull it up right now. It is 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. You can do it from the NIV. So each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the same way that you give without having anything causing you to do it by any particular way or shape or form or fashion, that's the way we should be when we're praying. So, okay, you might get up and pray at 8 o'clock for 2 days in a row. That's great. But you can't, God might not want to hear from you at 8 o'clock the next day, right? Like, y'all got to listen to me. Like, we can't get caught up in, oh, I ain't get up and do my prayer. Listen, God is available at noon, same way he was available at 4 a.m. He's available. What's important is that you take that time to allow the Holy Spirit to converse with you. Because we know sometimes I can't deal with me. I'm going to talk about me. Okay? Sometimes it's difficult for me to deal with who I am and what I'm thinking and what I'm doing, let alone talking to other people. So it's so essential that we don't get, and I know this scripture is usually, you know, a scripture about giving, but each of you should pray what you've decided in your heart to pray. Right? Like, why not? Not reluctantly or under what? Compulsion. Like, for God loves a prayer, a cheerful prayer. A cheerful prayer. Come, you developing a relationship with a person nobody wants. If the only time you talk to me is at 8 o'clock in the morning, we not finna be friends for that long. Because I may need to talk to you at 2:30. I might need, like, we talking about our relationship with God. And it does not happen overnight. Like, I, in 2013, if I read some of the stuff I was believing then, it might not be what, you know, y'all would think. Because in 2013, I was in a different place in my relationship with God. Wherever you are in your relationship with God, you have to be okay to allow him to, you need to be ready to be praying that whatever it is in your heart. And God's word is available. Jesus had wrote, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day." Jesus wrote that prayer in the word. I don't know what I should say. Well, say that. But maybe we got to start somewhere, because prayer is not natural. It's not something you just do because you just do it because you just do it. And one of the ways that we stop stopping is when we get to that point when we want to stop, what we need to do? We need to pray. We got to pray. We got to say, Lord, I really want to stop doing this. I'm tired. And he will listen to that. You know, religion will teach us that we can't say certain things to God. Me and God talk about all kinds of stuff. Okay? Some of y'all, no, I'm just playing. Hey, you understand? But when it's a secret place, it don't matter, because I ain't talking to other people about it. That's how awesome God is. That's the beauty of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere all the time. everywhere all the time. So the Holy Spirit is available and ready to hear and listen. And when I'm done saying what I got to say, then I'm going to listen to what the Lord got to tell me. Listen, let me tell y'all. I hate Walmart. I'm sorry. Okay? Just, I don't like it. I got a friend. She love Walmart. We cool. I love her. She cool. I do not like Walmart. Okay? So why am I saying that? Well, last Saturday, was it? The Lord told me to go to Walmart. Now, of course, y'all don't know how much I don't like. My kids know I don't like Walmart. They understand where this is coming from, a very deep place, okay? So I'm in Publix. Okay? So when my husband met me, he was like, hey, he said something about Walmart. I'm like, I don't go to no Walmart. Anyway, so I'm in Publix, y'all. Like, I'm in Publix. And I had already heard the Lord tell me to go to Walmart that morning. And I'm just like, well, maybe, you know, Lord, maybe you was tired. You was talking to somebody else. So here I am in Publix. I got like six things in the cart. Just like going, and the Holy Spirit said again, didn't I tell you to go to Walmart? And I'm just like, okay. Now listen, I'm not saying anything. Again, I got people that love Walmart. Like, that's just not my jam, right? Some people like Target, you know, feel me? You know, Target in the house. Some people like that, right? Whatever you like. What you like is what you like. So I'm not, this really doesn't have anything to do with Walmart being an issue. It's just, I didn't like it. God told me to go there. All right, so I had to put the stuff, I took the stuff out of my basket. What is the beauty of the Lord? What is that relationship with God? That's what I'm talking about right there. Like, it's the things that we're doing when we're not in church. Because the Holy Spirit was right there telling me, he really had already told me that morning, go to Walmart. I was close to Walmart, drove back the other way and went to Publix. You understand? So I took all my stuff out. I said, let me go to this Walmart. And then the location he wanted me to go to was definitely not the location I wanted to be in. Now, if I'm going to go to Walmart, there's a couple locations that I particularly like. Feel me? Oh, that's cute. I can do that. But this ain't the one. So I went to that one. I get in there. Whatever. I do my shopping. Shopping around. You know, get whatever. So I'm like, okay, Lord, let me get out of here. And I probably spent about an hour. So I ain't going there, like, playing around. I really got what I needed to get. Spent about an hour. So I get to the line, and the man say, you know, he had, like, one thing, two things in his hand. I was like, oh, you can go ahead. Whatever. I got a basket full of stuff. That's fine. I'm not in a hurry. And even if I was in a hurry, your stuff ain't going to take as long as mine. Go ahead. So he go, pay for his stuff. So I'm putting my stuff up there. Now, y'all got to listen. I said, and what did we say earlier? I always believe that I'm in the what? And I'm going to believe that I'm going to see what? Where at? Right here. Okay. So here I am, the man, you know. So I'm getting ready to pay for my stuff. So he say, hey, are you shopping for somebody else? I said, no, I'm shopping for me. He said, here you go. He gave me some money. Listen, let me tell you. I don't like Walmart. Yep. Come on. Hello? But when God tells you to do something, but you won't know that if you're not communing with him. Like, you won't know that if you don't pray. Right? Each of you should pray what you have decided in your heart to pray, not reluctantly. It seems so small, but it is so significant. I would never have thought, when I walked into that store, I didn't go with the intentions of somebody better give me some money when I get to the register. Right? I'm like, okay, Lord, you brought me here for a purpose. Something in here. It was extra money for me to pay for what I was paying for. And let me say this real quick. We got to know how to receive from God. When you can't receive Something is not right. There is a blockage in your exchange with God when you can't receive. Let's start with something physical. If I want to give you $50 and you refuse my $50, oh, I'm good. You could have $10,000 in the bank. It's not about how much money you have in the bank. You have to know how to receive. It's learning how to receive is just as much something you got to learn as it is to give. So let's transfer that to our relationship with God. If you praying to God and he trying to give you something, what's going to happen? You don't know how to receive, so guess what you can't do from God? You can't receive. And it don't have to just be money. Like, don't get me wrong, right? But you got to think about it. We, as people of God, as believers, right? We know about giving. We hear that. But receiving is so essential in order for you to foster that relationship that God really wants with you. God doesn't want this just to be a one-way thing. It's back and forth. He want to be able to give you as much as you want to give praises and worship to him. But we got to be able to receive. And I pray that that's for somebody. Somebody needed to hear that. It's okay to receive from other people. It's not about whether you need it or not. It's really not. I didn't need that man to give me money. Because I wouldn't have been in the store if I didn't have the money. It's not about that. I received what that man gave me to pay for what I had. And if I wouldn't have been, I could have been not paying attention, and then I could have walked out the store. Well, Lord, you sent me into Walmart for no reason. No, I sent you in there. I gave this, told this man to give you some money, and you didn't receive it. Like, there is a purpose. There is a purpose. Amen. I pray that you are receiving the word today. So John, you need to write down. So John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. Like, I'm just telling you, all of those chapters, sometime when you, if you especially are at that beginning point in your relationship with God, you need to be reading John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. Within those chapters, there's so much about the exchange. It's God saying, I'm the vine and you're the branches, right? Like, it really works on that believing. What is it that you believe? If you go to the questions. So I'm going to go to a few scriptures within those chapters, but I'd really, really encourage you. John chapter 14 through 17. And here, listen, we living in a world of technology, folks. You know you could just play the Bible and it read it to you. You ain't even got to be here like we used to. You don't even, if you're on the way to work and the Lord like trying to get something to you, we can listen to the word, the access that we have to the word now. Like, we have to utilize that. Like, I get with my girls, what's the verse of the day? Dang, you lost your street? How many streets you had? 108. I think one of my daughters got up to like 150. I think mine was only like 101. Right? Like, we be like, oh, man. Right? What am I saying? We got to use this. Yes, technology has its negatives, but it also, we got some access, folks. Are we using the access that we have? Are we using that access? What are you believing? This is one of those important questions. Back in 2013, I wrote that down, and I wrote down the things that I'm believing. Again, a good starting point, especially if you are like, I'm kind of new to this thing. I ain't necessarily been walking with Jesus that long, or I've been walking with Jesus for 20 years. What are you believing? at this point, right? What am I believing? And how does what I believe strengthen my relationship with God? It strengthens it tremendously. Like, your relationship with God is directly connected to what you are believing. When Pastor Benjamin taught again about stopping, it just kept reiterating in my mind, like, if you at that stopping point, we all get to that place where we want to stop. What does that prayer look like when you in a secret place? Y'all know secrets, that means you don't tell nobody. That also means nobody else is present besides you and the Holy Spirit. So what is it that you're still trying to keep from God? First of all, he already know. I know, see, we say that, and you know, we in the church, we say, but I'm going to say this again. He already knows anyway. But we need to be okay to say out of our own mouths, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Like, we got to be able to say out of our mouths. You got to speak that. If you're angry, you got to speak it. If you're hurt, you got to speak it. If you're damaged in some kind of way, you have to speak that. You and the Holy Spirit need to have a conversation about that. Y'all need to talk. If you don't walk out of here with anything else, I need you to know that everything in your life, if you are a believer, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you should be speaking to him about everything that concerns you. Because if you're not, you're more in a likely place to stop. You want to stop. But we cannot stop what God is having us to do. We need to be in communion with him. And everything is not a burning bush, right? God don't have to open up the sky to tell you, don't go down that street today. Just go to the left instead. It's the little things that we have to pay attention to. The Holy Spirit will speak. John, let's go to chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. John chapter 14, verse 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. He will help you. There's a verse in the Bible that says, it's a translation that talks about, it says, take the mercy, receive the help. That's what it say in the word. Now, I don't know exactly the scripture at the moment, but I'm telling you it's in there. Amen. Take the mercy, receive the help. If God is saying, I'm going to give you an advocate, a help to be with you, what would that say? Forever. Forever. So, next verse. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him. That's a big one. Lord, why these other people don't understand? Because they can't accept it when they're not believers. They can't accept it because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives where? With you. And will be in you. I'm telling you, listen, John chapter. And it just goes on and on and on and on. It is so awesome for us to continue to remember that. And this is the place that I have gotten to in my relationship with God. Even in those moments where I am angry and I'm fussing at my kids and I'm mad, God is still in me. You hear me? He's still in there. No, because see, we got to get the grace of God. What Jesus did, he did it all. And what he didn't say, I'm leaving when you start getting mad at your husband. It don't say that. When you mad at your husband, you got an attitude, I'm still there. God never leaves us. We got to be okay in whatever place that we're in. We have to be okay right there with him. So many times we want to separate it. Well, you know, when I get a little aggravated, God not really there. But I'll go get him back in a minute. He's there. In your aggravation, in your whatever state, he right there. Talk to him. That's that secret place. The one thing that you desire. That beauty of the Lord. Lord, I know this situation is happening, but you just begin to worship, praise. That's a part of prayer. Sometimes it's not a long dialogue. Sometimes I just need to hear that one song, but I got to be seeking that because that's not natural, right? I got to be seeking something to put into my spirit because that's not natural. John chapter 15, verse 4. John chapter 15, verse 4. It says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you what? Remain in me. So you're going to produce something. Something is going to be coming as long as you connect it to him. Stay connected to him. Even in our finances, you know, There's a lot to be said about our giving, and I'm talking about financial giving. One thing God said to me recently is, whatever it is I tell you to give, I need you to give, but be careful because if you're used, so for example, you're used to giving X amount of dollars, right? Let's say that's $500, but God tells you to give something different. You got to be in tune with what God is telling you to do and trust him that he is going to take whatever he told you to give now and still make it multiply like his word says. But the thing you don't want to do is just not give anything because then you're taking away from what God is trying to do with you, right? Like you, the woman, I think Pastor Benjamin mentioned this last week, the woman who gave, it was like they gave into the offering, and they say that she gave more than the person who gave monetarily more. Because she gave out of what she had. Like, what is it that you have to give God? It may not be money at this moment. Maybe you're a teenager or you're a young adult and you don't have money. What is it that you have to give? Maybe it's your time. Amen? All right. John 15, 15. I'm going to move down to verse 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. That's a word right there. If you're communing with God, he's going to tell you his business. You know what that means? It's nothing that you shouldn't know. And if you don't know something, guess who you need to go to? Lord, I don't really know. I was saying it took me about, I don't know, I think it took me about 3 hours. Lord, you Pastor Benjamin, you sure he heard from you? You know his bit? I was asking him. Here's the thing. The only opposite of yes is no. Hearing from God is not something that is difficult. It's not difficult. But we have to be honest enough to know when we're hearing from God. When the Lord told me to go to Walmart, I knew it was God. Okay? Because I'm not going there willingly. I'm not doing it. That's just not my plate. That's not where. So when I heard that, I'm like, okay, Lord, that's you. That is you. Even though I still tried to go against, this is what I'm telling y'all, even though I still tried to go against it, but that's that relationship. God, like, listen, you in this Publix. I told you to go to Walmart. Get out this Publix. And I'm like, Lord, but I got stuff in the basket. Put it back on the shelf. And go, but it's about obedience, right? That's my Lord, my Savior. He knows everything anyway. He already knew I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm getting to this line at the moment when this man, he had like 3 items. That man could have checked that 2 hours before I got there. Even in my disobedience, going to the Publix like I ain't hear him. The Lord still had this man show up at the time, right place, right time, because I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Land of the living. I don't have to wait until I'm with Jesus in front of him. The song we were singing in praise and worship, it's talking about worshiping God. Folks, that's what we're going to be doing. Some of y'all know that's what we're doing. We got to be ready. We got to start now. Get in that secret place. Be with God. Be that in your car. Be that in your home. Be that in the store walking around. It don't have to be a verbal, right? I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my father, I have what? Made known to you. Jesus is like, listen, you need to know something. I got you. But I don't know how to pray. I don't say the right things. You, as long as you are saying them from your heart and you are allowing yourself to learn the word, then you start bringing the word into your prayers. They don't just magically get there, folks. We bring them into our prayers, and then you start believing that word. That's what are you believing? I think it's one last question I had. I hope that you are being blessed by God. I hope that you are taking notes for you, not for anybody else, but for you, so that Holy Spirit continues to commune with you. And if you haven't been communing with him, start today and don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. Y'all don't know this, but so this young lady here, she used to be in my class. I used to actually teach her when she was in middle school. And prior to today, she had been on my mind. And I've been praying in my secret place for her to be here today. Where is she sitting? I don't know her phone number. I'm telling y'all what God... This is what I'm saying about prayer. Prayer is not just about, like, she's here. Because God needs her to be here. He wants her to be here to hear what he is saying right now. She's here. I even thought, well, maybe I should, you know, try to reach out to this person, that person. The Lord was like, no, you don't need to. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to keep praying for her. She come across my mind. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes hearts. Prayer changes minds. Prayer changes you. Prayer changes me. But you got to be okay and realize you might not feel like it, but do it anyway. Do it anyway. What are you believing? How does what I believe strengthen my relationship with God? Is there one last? Okay. I think the scripture that I wanted to end with, a couple things I want to just read to you from my notes. The Serenity Prayer. How many of you know the Serenity Prayer? Heard it? Heard the first line? Maybe two. I don't know. Usually people only say the first line. They be like, God, grant me the serenity. And then that be it. I will say to you, if you don't know what it is, if you know what I'm talking about, I am telling you, you need to look it up. It is an amazing starting point. There's a little bit of history about the guy who wrote the poem. Long story short, like, he was basically trying to get people to, like, go in the direction of God, okay? I'll say that. You can look him up on your own. But I want to say that the prayer goes, God, grant me the serenity. But serenity does not mean change this immediately and fix my situation right now. That's actually not what serenity means. The definition is not that. The definition of serenity means peaceful and calm and worried about nothing. So, God, grant me the serenity, the peacefulness and the calmness to not worry. Not for the situation to just change immediately. And we're not saying God don't do things suddenly. We know that. That's definitely in God's word, and he does do those things. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But it's more than that. See, most people stop right there. That prayer goes beyond that. And this is what I'm saying. Oh, no prayers. This one. Write this one down. put it in your notes. You might pray this prayer for the next year of your life. But guess what? You communing with God, and the Holy Spirit will be right there, and he'll meet you right there. We got to walk away from this religious idea that prayer is supposed to be a specific thing, right? Yes, it is specificities about it. You have a prayer of praise, and you have a prayer of worship, and you have a prayer of intercession where you are praying for other people. That's a prayer of intercession. So when our intercessors come up here, we are praying. That's a prayer of intercession. We are interceding on behalf of other people. So there's a place for different prayers. What I'm talking about today is your relationship with God and how you're praying, how you are seeking him, how you are talking to him. And there's no formula for that other than God's word has to be tied to it. And you, as a believer, you have to know and believe that you hear from him. And that is essential. So if you haven't been praying, you got to include it. So God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time. Enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. Taking as he did the sinful world as it is. So many times, I'm going to talk about me. I spend too much of my energy trying to change some of the things in this world that I know I don't have those controls over. And maybe as a woman, we want things to be a certain way and we want things okay and we want to make it right. But sometimes we got to realize God is not calling us to do that thing. And we're exerting our energy on that thing, and that's not what God wants. Taking as he did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. So prayer is trusting that he will make all things, that he will make all things right. And you got to have a hope, a confident expectation of good. You have to have a hope that I am going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The prayer continues, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever. Because that's the ultimate goal, right? Like, ultimately, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That praise, that worship. John 14:30 says, you don't have to go there on the screens. The enemy has no power over us as believers. John 14:30. He has no power. Vulnerability as a Christian, especially, especially with church people, right? You have to be okay to be vulnerable, even when you're interacting with other people, right? So if I'm communing with God, my spirit is going to respond a certain way if Pastor Benjamin does something, my spirit is going to respond a certain way because I've been communing with God anyway. When I say does something, maybe Pastor Benjamin does something that I think, whatever the case may, but I'm communing with God, so the Holy Spirit is already correcting that. Does that make sense? Like, God is intentional about everything. So if I'm communing with him, he knows how to speak to me and be like, "That's don't worry about that," or No. But we have to be communing with him and be okay that he is going to correct us. That correction. Never doubt God's love for you, John 15:9. As I wrap it up, I just want to say that I was saved at the age of 13. I saw an angel the night after that. In my room, I could still remember exactly what it looked like. And then there was a time where I wasn't communing with God, right? After 13, there was a space where I really wasn't communing with him. And I'm saying this so that you all understand, what you have planted, it doesn't matter whether it's in your child, right? God is going to give that increase. So you're communing with him. He hears you. He knows. All we need is for them to say that prayer of salvation. It doesn't matter how long it takes them before they say it. It could be right before they transition. They covered. So that, I believe that God, that's for someone. So my last scripture, I believe is Psalm 61. And then that'll be, if you want to stand as we read this, we'll pray immediately after. So it says, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life for the years and his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day." You can stop there. If you just close your eyes, I'm going to pray. I just ask that before we begin to pray, I ask that you allow Holy Spirit to speak to you. I'm actually not going to say a lot of words as I pray. I just would like for us to hear from God in this moment. So, Lord, we thank you. We give you honor. We praise you. God, you know exactly where we are right now. You know exactly where we are. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for your power, for your love. We thank you for your peace, God. And we just take a moment to just stand in your presence. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for every person that's sitting in this place today, God. We thank you for your word that has gone forth. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that all is well with us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you are working right now, God, even right now, Father God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for those that don't, Father God, think that you hear them, God. Remind them right now that you hear them. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you remind each and every one of us of your word. Your word says that you will bring to our remembrance. So we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We give you all the honor and we give you all the glory and all the praise. We worship your holy name. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for who you are, that you are I am that I am. Thank you, Lord. We are whole and complete in you, God, in any areas where we're not complete, God. Thank you that you're meeting us right there and that you're working right there, God. Thank you, Lord. And even while you're working, we are still yours. Hallelujah. We are still yours, God. Worship your name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. It is in Jesus' name we pray, God. Hallelujah. If you agree, say amen.
Thank you for joining me on this journey. I am so glad you made the decision to come along. If this podcast was a blessing to you, please share it with someone. Allow their life to be enriched as well. To learn more about the ministry, go to www.revealingtruth.org. There you will find information concerning all of our other social media connections. Until next time, remember this. The truth has the power to make your life better, but it is the truth that you apply that actually gets the job done. So go out and apply the truth to your life today without delay. Chat with you soon.